Our scripture for this morning is from the book of Jeremiah. And as you see in your bulletin, it's indicated that this is reading from the New King James Version. We have a visitor with us today, so I have to mention that at the end of the scripture in parenthesis that NKJV means New King James Version. We always put, your visitor. We always put the translation because I use several different ones. Someone said to me, I wish we had Bibles in our pews. And I said, well, we can't quite do that because I read from all kinds of different translations. Anyway, this is from New King James. When Jeremiah entered the dungeon and the cells, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. The king asked him secretly in his house. And I think a more clear translation of that would be the king asked him privately when he had come into the palace and said, this is the king asked, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. Then he added, and he said, you shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Moreover, Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, what offense have I committed against you, against your servants, or against this people that you have put me in prison? Where now are your prophets who prophesied to you, saying, the king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land? And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. When Jeremiah said, what offense have I committed against you that you put me in prison? That goes all the way back to verse 16, when Jeremiah had entered the dungeon and the cells. He'd been put in prison, you see. Well, here we are at the end of another year, 2018, just about to go into the record books. And I wondered, as your pastor and the preacher who is here today, what do I think the worshipers of Boskydale on almost the last day of the year are going to expect this morning? What is the preacher, what's he going to bring as a message from the Lord today? I don't know whether you ever wonder anything about what a particular sermon might address, but as I think of Sundays, as you might suppose, I always think about such. So it's the end of the year, and what kind of year are we looking back on, the year 2018? What's the message? Is there any word from the Lord? Well, I know for each of us there were personal things that happened during this year, and we think about those things. But as a group or groups, there are certainly events and trends that mark the year. As a church, some plus, some minus. Well, plus, we added one new member, and that's good, but only one. We saw upward movement among our young ones, some graduations, some new jobs, some new families on the way, all our kids growing in some ways. And we have visitors coming up the steps. So I'll wait for them. Not sure who they are. Paul, would you open the door and greet the visitors? They're coming in that back door. We've kept on keeping on. While all the while we have been pained to see some churches of Southern Illinois close their doors. We've had another banner year in mission endeavors. Special offerings for some of the natural disasters of the year. Hello, come in. I don't know you, but come right in. These are our friends from St. Louis, John and Cindy. They've been here before. So we have had another banner year in mission endeavors, special offerings for some of the natural disasters of the year, another multi-hundreds of shoebox gifts to the Operation Christmas Child, concerns in almost every monthly business meeting of who can we send an offering to that needs our help. And I'm sure you're thinking even now of some other pluses for our church for this year. And there are, of course, minuses. While it's good that we did add one new member, we are not really growing at all in reaching people for our membership in our fellowship. We have to talk to people at Walmart and invite them. Amen? To not reach people, new people for Christ, and add them to the roles of His church is on the minus side. It's not on the plus side. And this is family, but also in a major way, church family. We lost our dear Rose. Stalwart member of many decades, retired church clerk, pianist, many things that she gave leadership to among us. And she was a great plus, but her going home in a way, a sort of a way, is a minus for us in our church life. Plus, of course, for Rose, because she got introduced to godly heaven. And excuse me, Leip and Stern's family, because it's personal, but I just couldn't overlook this as I think of 2018. And Mr. Schumacher, not in leadership, but his spirit, very influential. No, John was a man for us. And his going home is a plus also. A vacation Bible school. We didn't have one this year because of too few potential leaders. And I think you join me in that we missed those kids running around here this summer. Choir. We're talking about minuses. No Independence Day cantata. No Christmas cantata. One Sunday with only one person in the choir loft in a recent morning worship service. Some reasons, but still a big minus. Church finances. You were afraid I was going to mention this one, weren't you? Offerings are somewhat holding their own, but our multiple building and grounds needs have significantly reduced our reserves. And because church giving is limited to what we call active members, the minus aspect here is that where God's plan for spiritual giving is based on the tithing of all Christians, more than 50% of those who call themselves members of Bosquedale Baptist Church no longer attend worship service here and are not participating in the part of worship that we call the giving of our tithes and offerings. And that's a minus. One other minus of finances is, and I don't know if you've noticed, it's right over here in front of us every Sunday, the faith promise. This is the over and above missions giving. Faith promise for this year did not reach its annual goal. That's very unusual for any year, and it's a minus. And of course, you may think of something else as a minus for us as a church, but that's way too much already. Every minus, however, needs to be addressed and turned around. At least, I think so. But now, as I've spoken of a list of pluses and minuses, those were only in regards to our church for this past year. And both are areas or are concerns that we need to hear God's word on. But beyond our church concerns, there are pluses and minuses regarding our town, our state, our nation, our world. Far too many for me to mention, but I'm sure you can immediately think of some. And all of this exercise that I've just done is to address as the people of God. What does God think of this? And what would he have his people do? And if we have the courage and the dedication to God to ask such a question, we should know that this is not by any means a new question. Don't take this negatively. It's a question that we must positively ask of God. I'm sure it was a question asked before this one here in Jeremiah in the 6th century before the first Christmas, 6 centuries B.C. But here it is, 587 B.C., and someone is asking if there's any word from God. Maybe like we're seeking, asking a word from God. Godly answers. Answers we need as a church, we need as a Christian nation. So I want to set the stage from this scripture. The Judean kings had significantly come to a time of spiritual problems on and off. And Zedekiah was the one who apparently didn't mean to be as bad as he was, but he was. He was bad. And things had really gone downhill among God's chosen people, the Israelites. Is there any word from the Lord? This is the question asked by the one who ended up as Judah's last king, Zedekiah, as a weak and indecisive, constantly revolving unbeliever. Calamity was at the outer gates of Jerusalem, and the king was down to about his last straw, so to speak. King Zedekiah, out of desperation, thought of God's prophet Jeremiah, who'd been brought back to Jerusalem and was over there in prison. And although the king had ignored Jeremiah's prophecy in the past, he now thought maybe Jeremiah had some advice for him. So the king's question was answered by the prophet Jeremiah, who had now become to the king the iron pillar, the real deal. Zedekiah seemed to have decided Jeremiah was the one that God had predicted would be coming. Now, going back just a bit, Josiah had been a godly king for Judah. And at Josiah's untimely death, his 3 sons, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiakim, followed him in that order on the throne. And then the last in the kingly line, Josiah's uncle, Zedekiah, was now king of Judah. Things had gone from bad to worse for Judah under these kings. And now the Chaldeans, these were the ones from Babylon, had surrounded the walls of Jerusalem, and the trembling king Zedekiah asked God's prophet, "Is there any word from the Lord?" "There is," Jeremiah replied, with no hesitation. And then, as if drumming a lesson into the head of a dull child, he repeated his message, already once delivered to the king before his current imprisonment. The message he delivered was, "You shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." His point was, you've already heard this word from the Lord. Are you paying any attention? There had been a word from the Lord through Jeremiah before this time, but the weak and godless king just would not heed to it. So that's where we were. And today, viewing this as we should in, I think, broad strokes, Jeremiah's message as he gave God's word to Zedekiah was a word of judgment. It was a word of faith. It was a word of salvation. This text is an ancient text, but it is relevant for us today. Mm-hmm. Our own age is asking, or should be asking, is there any word from the Lord? So I say to myself, if any of us who try to be preachers of God's word are true to that, we must echo Jeremiah's reply of long ago, there is. What then does this preacher find is God's word for us today? So let me mention three things as we apply this ancient text to 2018, almost 2019. Is there any word from the Lord? First of all, there is. There is a word of affirmation. That word is this. God lives. God is alive. He rules. The same God whom Isaiah saw almost three millennia ago, sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, it's Isaiah 6:1, still reigns in this world, and as 1 Corinthians 15:25 plainly puts it, he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. You know, Effie, of all of the Christian hymns that I know, this is one of my favorite verses. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. That is the gospel word. That's the gospel's affirmation. He rules the world. He may not be ruling the world in the way some people want him to, but the irrefutable truth is, he is on the throne of all of his created universe. Sadly, our world is in a state very much akin to that of old King Zedekiah. Our world's afraid, it's confused. We're desperately seeking for some sure word out of which hope may be given to us. But we have it. God lives and rules. Since we have it, we'd better give it. God's people need to have the boldness of Jeremiah as he gave it to the one who asked, is there any word from the Lord? And there it is, right there in Revelation 19:6. Like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and the loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. And that, my friend, is God's word we want to shout, the word of affirmation. Well, the question comes again, is there any word from the Lord? And second, there is a word of warning. So to start this one, let's go way back. God created mankind innocent, sinless, free. Yes. Innocent in that he had not been tempted and therefore had not fallen into sin. Mm-hmm. Sinless in that he had not, as yet, exercised his free will, the power to choose between good and evil. Amen. And free in that he could choose to do whatever he liked within God prescribed boundaries. And there's a truth for us. By its very nature, we all come eventually to understand freedom must have boundaries. Our first parents crossed those boundaries in willful disobedience. Adam and Eve fell. And this is the history of our human race. This is the sad history of Judah in Jeremiah's day. They had violated God's laws. They had thrown down the covenant. Jeremiah's message was blunt and simple. Because of blatant sin, the people of Judah and Jerusalem would be punished. Jerusalem would be destroyed, and her people would be carried off into captivity. Then after 70 years of purging from her sin of idolatry and unfaithfulness, in a foreign land, the nation would be restored. A remnant would return. This was God's prophet's word of warning and prophecy. Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there's a word of warning. The Bible is full of this word. Ezekiel 18:4, look, every life belongs to me. The person who sins is the one who will die. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Galatians 6:7 and 8, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. The one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is a word of warning. Is there any word from the Lord? Well, last of all, there is, thanks be to God, there is a word of salvation. You won't believe this, but King Zedekiah sent for Jeremiah a third time. You have to go another chapter to get there. This was after the king's request for a word from the Lord in chapter 37, our text for the morning. But now he's brought Jeremiah again. And in this time, his request was, I'm going to ask you something. Don't hide anything from me. Jeremiah 38:14. He was saying, tell it like it is, preacher. Tell me, what is the score? What will come of all of this? And after receiving the king's assurance of dealing fair with him, Jeremiah said, this is what the Lord, the God of armies, the God of Israel says. If indeed you will surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then you will live, this city will not be burned, and you and your household will survive. But if you do not surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then this city will be handed over to the Chaldeans. They will burn it, and you yourself will not escape from them. Well, that first part of that is a word of salvation for his life, for his family, and would save the city from destruction. And the word is, as he gave it to Zedekiah, if you will heed God's directive. Seems pretty clear to me. But we read the sad words of the very next verse. This is verse 19 in chapter 38. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid. I would, but I'm afraid. And godly Jeremiah tried one more time. Verse 20. Obey the Lord in what I'm telling you, so that it may go well for you. You know, the fear of Zedekiah, I'm afraid, shuts down many people. But we, too, have a word to address the fears, the I'm afraid. We have something to address that. We have a word. We can tell the world, we see Jesus. The writer of Hebrews had seen it all. The terror, the wretchedness, the hatred on the earth, the mess humans make of things. Yet he wrote, Hebrews 2:8-9, God has put everything under his Son. Everything is under his control. We do not now see everything under his control, but we do see Jesus. As a Christian, every one of us, we know our marching orders. The word through Christ is to go into all the world with the gospel. Mm-hmm. Our loved ones, our city, our world must be reaffirmed that God lives and God rules. Mm-hmm. That God warns people of impending judgment. But that he has a great salvation for all who will believe. Amen. Is there a word from the Lord? Any word? There is. There is a word from the Lord. Will we heed it? Will we hear? So my dear, dear friends of Boscadale Church, I say, let us leave this place once more to go into a desperately needy world. Let's bid farewell to this year and march right into the year of our Lord, 2019, with that word of affirmation, that word of warning, to heed that word and praise the Lord of salvation, that word ringing constantly in our ears, that we may give it fully to our beloved world, a world that is in need of nothing more than Jesus, the Word.